Hey, this is Ollie and welcome to The Body Reset. This podcast has been built to help career-driven professionals and business owners intelligently upgrade their body, energy and personal performance in the modern world. I want to help uncover some of the core concepts, beliefs and frameworks that we've used with thousands of clients to navigate health and performance as we age. If you want more like this, simply subscribe so you never miss the newest episode.
Hey team, Mandy here, clinical nutritionist at The Body Reset. Today we're going to talk about what's the best exercise you can do to help balance your hormones. I'm quite excited to talk about this actually, because it's quite a big pull. So let's talk hormones first. Hormones are never good or bad. You've heard me say this before, they're simply responding to the environment in which they're existing in, which is your body and everything that your body is having to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And any sort of hormonal imbalance is simply the result of that environment and whether your body is able to adapt to and rebalance after the nudges that it gets from the environment around it. So I'm going to give you a little bit of analogy here to help explain this, because I love an analogy, I love a visual, it just kind of makes it all make sense. So imagine you're standing on the edge of something, you're balanced on the edge of something, and someone's beside you and they give you a little push. What happens? You kind of activate your core, you wobble a little bit, your muscles kind of do their thing, you slowly regain balance and you stay able to stand there. But what happens if someone gives you a really big shove or a whole lot of little shoves with no time in between to regain balance is you end up falling off because your body was not able to adapt to the shove that it was getting. And exactly the same thing happens with our hormones, in that our hormones have to be able to adapt to the things that are constantly coming up in our environment that are making them kind of shift and move. Now, when it comes to exercise, exercise has both a short-term acute and a long-term impact on our hormonal balance. And this is a good thing. And in the short term, that hormonal imbalance that occurs post-exercise is actually part of what allows us to adapt and improve and get fitter, stronger, healthier, etc. And it actually allows us to increase levels of some hormones, which is a good thing, and decrease levels of other hormones, which is also a good thing. But the issue is when the stimulus or the exercise itself provides enough of an imbalance often enough that our body can't recover between. And that's when something that could have been a net positive, i.e. exercise, which is a good thing for our hormones, can become part of the problem feeding into some of the imbalances we're seeing. And I do actually see this a lot, and I want to tell you how that kind of plays out a little bit in a wee while. But what we need to look at first when we're sort of thinking about, well, what exercise is going to help balance my hormones if there is some hormonal imbalance going on, we need to first understand really what is the impact of exercise on our hormones. And there's many. It's incredibly complex and I couldn't summarize it in, you know, 20 or 30 minutes, but I'm going to give you a few of the top ones so that we can just kind of understand where we might go when it comes to looking at building an exercise program that's actually truly going to help things come back into balance. So the first one is really movement in general has a big impact on our detoxification pathways. Now, that sounds a little disconnected to our hormones, but it's really, really important because our bowels and our liver, which are the key part of our detoxification pathways, is how we get rid of excess old hormones. So when we're thinking about especially estrogen, actually, and what happens is if the detoxification pathways are not working well, then estrogen can end up being recycled. We can end up with high levels of estrogen, which actually is a problem for both females in that kind of high estrogen dominant scenario, and males, especially if there's kind of like some belly fat going on or man boobs or that sort of shape occurring, often quite a high estrogen kind of look. And we really want to look at detoxification and having really good liver function and bowel motions, etc., to bring that back into balance. And movement has a really key part to play in that, because it allows the body to move and twist, and it just allows those pathways to kind of be stimulated and work a whole lot better. So at a baseline level, that's kind of like the key component of exercise as far as hormonal balance is concerned. Another benefit that exercise has on hormonal balance is in and around the hormone insulin. So cardio and resistance training have a beneficial effect on our insulin sensitivity. And if we are more sensitive to insulin, we better manage our glucose control, and we don't need as much insulin to do that. And why this matters when it comes to hormone balance is that very high levels of insulin have a whole lot of other flow-on effects to our sex hormones. So for women, it can actually increase the production of testosterone. And it's particularly relevant in situations where there's maybe some PCOS going on, but it can occur in all women. And so then you can have a little bit of an imbalance of the ratios between estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, which may be a problem. And for men, it can actually increase estrogen levels because fat tissue is a producer of estrogen itself. And if insulin resistance is occurring, the fat cells are insulin resistant, that production of estrogen can actually be increased as well. So movement on the whole, you know, cardio or strength training has a beneficial effect because it increases our insulin sensitivity, which allows us to keep insulin lower, which means that we're not having insulin stimulating all the other hormonal responses in the body as well. Resistance training in particular, it actually is a key thing for training our ability to balance our hormones. And this comes in to play to do with our what's called our HPA axis, or hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which is kind of our stress management system between our brain and our adrenal glands. So resistance training, all exercise does do this, but resistance training or strength training does it in a little bit more of an intense stimulus. And we'll talk about why that matters in a minute. But exercise resistance training increases cortisol initially. So what they see post-exercise is that cortisol rises. That's a good thing. It's part of the adaptation response. It comes down, it goes below baseline, and then it balances back out again. And it's that kind of spike, fall, and rebalancing, which is the important part. It's training our body to do that process. So we're not getting rusty at it. We're not overreacting. We're not underreacting, but our body is learning to have an appropriate stress response and then how to balance it again. And that's, again, where the recovery piece comes in, which we'll talk about, is the gap between the stimulus and then the recovery. So the cortisol response to resistance training is actually a really important part of training our body to increase that stress threshold so that our hormones don't get so out of balance by other environmental factors. Resistance training also has a specific effect on testosterone for men and for women, but also on a couple of other hormones in relation to building tissue, including growth hormone. And this is really important in the context of just energy, vitality, and you know, probably the most common hormonal imbalance for men is really that lower testosterone level with estrogen creeping up. So resistance training to build that testosterone level up is really important. And for women, it doesn't go too far. You don't do resistance training and suddenly you're all testosterone. It's the body balance is better than that. But we need that anabolic effect of those hormones in our body. So when you think about it, you know, we think of growth hormone, well, it's just going to make me bigger or, you know, bulkier or whatever. It's not the case, but all of the tissues in our body require growth hormone and that anabolic effect to be able to turn over and recover. So if there's any kind of chronic health conditions or even just looking after our brain as we age, looking after our gut health as we age, looking after our veins and our heart and all that as we age, it requires that stimulation and turnover of tissue, which requires those anabolic hormones. So resistance training allows our body just to recover and rebuild and do what it's meant to do really, really well. Now, the negative effect, if we were going to go there for a little minute, of exercise on hormones really comes in when we're looking at overtraining. Now, in some cases, there is overtraining actually as, you know, the person's literally doing too much. In the case of athletes, you know, we could see this. But what is a lot more common is that people are overtraining in the context of what their body is actually able to recover from. So if you have some chronic health conditions, if you have been dieting a lot, if you have a lot of stresses, whether those are external life stresses or traumas or family issues or work pressures, or internal, you know, chronic health conditions, nutritional deficiencies, gut issues, all those sorts of things. Those are stresses on the body, and those reduce your capacity to recover. And what that means then is that the line between where training becomes overtraining is a whole lot lower. So we really need to be quite intelligent about how we bring training in then, because it's not a case of maybe doing what you did in your 20s or doing what you might have done that has worked before. It's what can my body recover from now that needs to be considered. So let's look then at what that actually might look like. What I've seen work with, you know, thousands of clients now in this space, probably, you know, the 40-year-old plus people that are busy working people, maybe there's some health conditions going on, maybe there is some hormonal balance, whether it's perimenopause, menopause, andropause, you know, the turn down of male hormones as well. The first piece of the puzzle is really when it comes to thinking, what exercise am I going to do? Is, are you moving at all? Because if you're not, if you are not moving at all, we start there because we have to move. And it's movement that is not focused on burning calories. It's movement that isn't focused on moving your body to allow blood flow to happen, allow your lymphatic system to get moving, allow your detoxification pathways to get moving. So you can clear out old hormones that might be sitting around, creating some of the imbalance there. And that might look like going out for a walk in the morning. It might look like doing some yoga or something like that. And there's an added benefit to that, in that because that has a calming effect on our central nervous system that allows those stress hormones to come down, which allows our other hormones to come back into balance as well. So don't despise the day of small things. If you are just starting and you're not doing anything yet, getting up every morning and going for a walk is the best thing you can do as far as exercise is concerned to help start balancing out your hormones. When we get that piece of the puzzle into place, we're walking now, you know, every day we're getting some movement in. We start looking at exercise through the lens of quality and intensity rather than time and volume and how much you sweat. And so this is where we really lean towards the strength and resistance training. And the reason for that is that it can provide a shorter, sharper stimulus to the body, which doesn't have a chronic effect on the central nervous system and the body's capacity to recover after the fact. Very often if people haven't been moving a lot or they're looking to get healthy or looking to lose weight or looking to balance their hormones or something, we go straight to, you know, running or cycling or something that's longer form cardio. And while I would never, I don't want to discourage people away from doing exercise that they love, there is a potential that that is taxing your body's recovery ability and actually ending up as a net negative rather than a positive. So we really actually want to move towards shorter and more intense forms of movement, and this is where resistance training and strength training comes in. And there's other benefits to that as well, because that contraction of muscle really helps with the production of testosterone, that stress response, insulin sensitivity, and all of these other beautiful things that happen when we're contracting muscles and building muscles over time. So what we're looking for here is maybe 3 times a week, 30 odd minute sessions. It's not hours long at a time. It's quality over quantity. And then afterwards, we should focus on feeling tired muscles, energized body. And this is kind of the opposite to what happens when, you know, we're doing, say, a longer form cardio where you feel bodily tired, you feel extremely hungry, but your muscles are not necessarily fatigued. So we're looking to tired muscles, really energized body, and then recovery time afterwards. So movement first. Intensity and quality of movement is second. We're looking at resistance training there or strength training. Cardio can come in, but cardio in the form of, you know, say running or cycling or anything like that really needs to be looked at in the context of where you are. So if you have got a lot of hormonal imbalance, there is a lot of fatigue or nutritional depletion or anything, knowing that the cardio may not be the best thing for you to be doing right now. It doesn't mean never, just maybe right now is not the right time. And if we are doing it, we're keeping it shorter. So maybe sort of around that 45 minutes and maybe just a couple of times a week, allowing good recovery period in between, prioritizing the intensity stuff a little bit more. And then from there, we move to the one thing we have to talk about if we're talking about exercise, and that is your rest days. Because like I said at the start, the benefit of exercise is realized in the recovery period. The exercise itself creates the stimulus that allows the hormones to kind of do their thing, but the adaptation occurs in the time frame afterwards. So when we're looking at exercise to balance hormones, we've got to look at that bigger gap, because let's face it, we're going to be not exercising and recovering for greater periods of time than we're actually exercising. So when we're looking at the recovery period, we're looking at sleep quality and quantity. We're looking at just rest in general, maybe some active, you know, movement like walking, etc. And then we're looking at food as well as another really important piece of the recovery picture. Because if your hormones are imbalanced and you're bringing in some training to help fix it, but you're not eating enough to provide the building blocks and nutrients for the body to do its balancing out, then you're going to end up in a worse situation. And this is what I, you know, you see is people are like, I'm so confused because I'm doing the right thing, but I'm getting the opposite result. And it's because the right thing only works if all of the right pieces are fitted, deal with it. So it's less is more with the training and bringing in all the other pieces that complement it, because the body does not work. Nothing in the body works independent. All the systems work together, and we have to provide all of those different components for it to work really, really well. So that gives you a little bit of a brief overview of when we're looking at training in the concept, in the context of balancing our hormones. We want to start smaller and build up. We want to make sure we're prioritizing the recovery, and we're prioritizing shorter and sharper with bigger recovery. And that's a really important piece of the puzzle. If you are 40-year-old plus, it's probably a case of starting to think, how does my movement patterns need to change through this stage of my life? So Ollie's actually put together a full 6-week workout reset, which we have available. And I would love to make that available for you guys today. If you are thinking, you know what, I do want to actually have a look at this, and I do want to bring in some movement to help with balancing out hormones, then that is available for you. Just comment workout reset below and we can hook you up with that. And it's just going to give you so much more detail and context on how to do it well, because like I said, it's quality more than anything else that's going to matter for you at the moment. So hopefully you've enjoyed this, guys. I will see you next time. Have a great day.
This episode was brought to you by The Body Reset, world leaders in health and performance coaching. If you love this episode, it would be a massive help if you just share with one person that you think would benefit. I'd also love to hear from you personally on social media or via email if I can help you personally. Until next time, remember, long-term change comes from self-compassion, and thanks for tuning in.